This is the Plus One Podcast. I'm Timhotep Aku, and this is the Internet. Internet, in this case, is a band. And not just any band, but a versatile Grammy-nominated group of musicians, each a star in their own right. This year, the Internet's members are showing off their individual talents with a string of solo releases. Leading the charge are founding members Sid and Matt Martians. I sat down with them to talk about their solo albums, what Sid calls Trap and B, Pharrell's influence on the band, and what Matt says is the double standard applied to black bands.
Black bands are not allowed to have dynamics. You know, white bands a lot of times are allowed to go do side bands and this and this. Yep. And it's always, they're still a band. Like, people will never let that band die. But I noticed with around before Ego Death, people were like, oh, so like, how long you guys think you're going to do it? I'm like, nobody asks other bands. We're a band.
Yeah, like what's your expiration date on this?
We always talk about, we want to be Frankie Beverly and May status. Like,
ooh, where okay, it's like, that's aspiration.
Yeah, we rocking shows to our 60s, man, because I feel like a lot of people don't get a chance to really have the opportunity that we have right now.
I mean, a lot of artists don't get a chance to be two artists in one. Yeah. I think what's awesome about us all doing solo albums and stuff is that we have the freedom to make this kind of music for the internet, and then whatever else we want to make on our own.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all have the freedom to go get our own solo deals if we want to. We have the freedom to go do our own solo shows if we want to.
Because originally we were going to do it together, and like as far as doing a label deal. But we realized, like, I don't want to be responsible for what my friends do solo-wise. I want them to be able, because we have the internet, so it's like we'll always be able to make money and do something really nice together. If, say, you know, everybody's not going to like be a huge solo artist, so we always have something that we always are at a really great caliber with, we can always run back to with the internet. So
also didn't want to place rank on anybody.
That is true. That's a good approach. So it's like there is no particular like hierarchy there.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody gets to do what they want to do and they come back to center. I like that idea. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's not necessarily, yo, you can't lead a band, man. It's about the band. It's more so like, nah, bro, go do what you got to do. We always going to support you. We built this band name together. So now we don't have to go to all these publications to get them to shout us out because our band literally can shout ourselves out. And I always realize, like, I see it with a lot of artists. Fans treat, when you have a group of people, fans treat the group of people how you treat yourselves. So when there's videos or when there's things or just when it looks like there's one person getting the most attention, that one person is sort of like the daddy or the mama, that's how the rest of people treat it. But opposed to treating it like this is a camaraderie, this is a brotherhood that legit is like, okay, Sid got her stuff coming out this week, we're only posting Sid, so we're focused on that.
I did notice that on social media. You guys are always very supportive of one another. It's never like, don't expect to see a tweet from Matt about Sid's project and vice versa.
I mean, we've been... Sid edited my video. I did her... I designed her logo. Like,
you edit videos?
Bro. Yo. She did... Let me say this. Sid, she was editing All About Me with Calmatic. I came back from Atlanta.
Well, he did that. I literally went in and was like, you know what? Can I just sit with you and finish this video? Because
Shout
out Calmatic.
Very talented.
I'm just real specific with how I like to see myself. And he knows that. So he was like, come through. And he was using Adobe Premiere and I was just watching. Like, what is this? He was like, oh, it's real easy. Like I used to make beats. That's how I started editing videos. I was like, dang, okay, for sure. I went home, I downloaded Adobe Premiere and I started editing some videos.
And 5 days later, she edited the Dentist Say video. Because she was like, I got two more days before the... I got 2 more days before the trial episode. Like, send me the file. And I was like, why don't you just get it? Because you're actually good at this. So, you know, I think it's one of those situations where... You know, and another thing, people think we have this big team doing all this stuff. Like, it's literally me, her, Steve, like, the band on these social medias, like, posting stuff. Like, Steve does his covers, mixes his album, like, Sid records himself. I record myself. We know how to take songs from literally the idea to mastering everybody in the band. And I think that's important because it doesn't limit us. I always tell people, everybody in the band, like, don't limit yourself. Like, you, we never thought we'd be here. I remember looking at NPR, so, man, oh, man, I wish NPR messed with us, man. Like, I wonder how good we got to get to NPR messed with us, man. So I realize it's a process, and, like, I respect it. So I think it's important that we instill that in the band as well, to be like, look, it's a process to get to a certain point, but when you do get to that point, we're going to support it, opposed to being like, you got to stay here, man. Yeah. It's like, nah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, with that said, I think I want to play something from Sid's record. I asked you for some song selections, and you chose Got Her Own, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that, and then I want to talk about that song, right, and having your own, and what lane your album occupies. You know what I'm saying? How you conceived it after we play it, all right?
Thank you.
Heard she got her own. Heard she drive a Beamer and she got it on her own. Heard she was a dreamer, but she's sleeping all alone. I just wanna meet her, cause I just wanna know. I heard she got her own. Heard she got her own. And I just wanna know. But I heard she got her own. Got her own. You try and impress her with your money. You don't know she got her own money. She has an eye for the finer things. I'm loving your wings, girl, they fly to me. I know you've seen her in the magazines. Your auntie might hate, but it's flattering, girl. You by yourself is a tragedy. I got trees in my back, we can smoke. But I heard she got her own. I heard she got her own.
Tell me about your lane with this album, and more specifically about that song, why you chose it.
My lane in making this album, I wanted to explore the, like, trap and B vibe. I'm gonna just call it that, because that's what it is now. I wanted to explore trap and B, because I fell in love with it. Mm. Honestly, it was Bryson Tiller's album.
Oh, okay.
I heard that
Trap
and I was
Soul,
like, wow. I was like, this is fire.
Mm.
And then, yeah, it occupied a lane that I felt like was, like, obvious. Like, why aren't more people, like, making music like this? It's fire. And it actually was perfect that more people weren't doing that, because it gave me time
to develop it,
something like my own version.
And there's a lot of confidence and a lot of attitude in this record. And there's always been that with your stuff and your songwriting, but here it's just cranked up. Is that because of that's what the music itself kind of spoke to you and told you to do, or just how you feel? You're just like, you're in your bag right now. You're like,
I think it's both. I think, yeah, like you said, like those kind of beats, that kind of production can bring that out of you, can bring the cocky side out of anybody.
I really do think it's like, it really speaks to us as individuals and our solo work. Like, because Sid's always been like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like with the internet, it's like we balance out that with what's good for the internet, opposed to your solo. It's like pure cut, like.
And the only reason I can do that is because I know I got an internet album coming next.
Yeah, so you don't feel the pressure. You can be like, hey, man, I want to make a song.
I want to make a trap and beat album.
Yeah, like.
Like, where half of it is trap beats. The rest of it is just, you know, smooth.
And the good thing is, I feel like, about your album is, like, you, that's very limiting, I feel like, calling it Trap and B, because it's such a variety of songs on there.
No, yeah, you're right.
That, like, you know, Dollar Bills is such a hybrid song between, like, like, live, like,
live
real
guitar,
but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I feel like at some point that transition will happen of, because you see the soul movement arising, you know, you see the live instrument movement arising. I felt like Pharrell kind of tapped into it, all right, with Kendrick. I always say, like, that song to me is special because it bridges two worlds together. Like, the music nerds, like, it's real. Like, but then the trappers. So to me, I feel like that's what we're going to start seeing, as far as even with certain Anderson .Paak songs, like, that bridging of, like, okay, we understand trap drums are, to me, trap drums. At, well, I ain't gonna lie, at first, like, few guys, like, oh, I'm sick. But to me, trap drums are a staple like, they've been in here long enough for 10 years. They're like a staple to me. Like,
mm-hmm. it's like Calypso in Jamaica. It's become. It's. I thought of that the other day because like I'm Jamaican and I got like family at my house right now.
They were playing the drum beat.
And like you let some Jamaicans play music, it's gonna be the same drum pattern all day.
That's very true.
Calypso drums, it's the same pattern on everything, and you just switch it up. But and that's kind of what trap music is for me right now. And there's nothing wrong with it.
So I think it's one of them situations. I guess since I've gotten older, like I'm not that old, but I've become to have empathy for a lot of music and understand its place opposed to being like, because, you know, we don't just listen to the intricate music. We listen to every type of music. Like, me and Steve's favorite artist is Uzi Vert. Like,
right now, that's what's really great about fans right now in the era of, like, Spotify and MP3s is that people are omnivorous when it comes to music, and they listen to everything.
Open-minded.
And you can't just peg a kid and be like, oh, he only listens to this because he listens to everything, or she listens to everything.
And
you know?
I think that's great because it used to be you were the cool kid if you had all the, oh, you listen to this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great because, you know, you go to these festivals and you see the mixed crowds of all demographic ages, and you're like, okay, cool, like that's how it used to be, like, you know, even with, around segregation, like everybody still wanted to come to them shows. Regardless.
Music unified people.
To me, and that's what I always tell Steve and like everybody in the band, like, and people who are getting music, I'm like, this is not something to play with, man. Like, music influences creation of life, ending of life, like music, you know how it is when you've been down and an album came out that, like, if you feel like if you didn't get that album, you might have, like, went down this sort of path.
You know, I want to get back to playing some of you guys' music, and I want to explore the place and the area that Matt goes with his stuff, because it's definitely to the left of where you went. Calling on Me by Matt Martians. A song about nobody in particular, whatever.
Okay, so I definitely, it's funny because people think my album's about one girl. Like, I keep getting tweets like, yo, that one girl your album's about, like, oh my God, like, she must feel so lucky that so many songs are about. I'm like, you know, I'm talking about, I write songs about girls that I dated when I was 17, 18. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that I don't even talk to, but it's just like, I know people can relate to because relatability in music is everything. Like, hearing one line in the song, you're like, oh, damn, how you know I went through that? Like, it's important. So to me, it was like, Calling on Me, I think everybody can relate to being in a relationship or being with somebody who at one point didn't accept you for who you were, and then when you kept being who you were, and the fruits from that being who you were prosper, then it's cool to, all those things that were a problem are cool again. And it's just, everybody can relate to that. And or to some extent, you can relate to coming up on something. Somebody who, not even relationships, but just in general, people coming back that necessarily were the people that were telling you to change that certain trait about you are the ones that are trying to reap the benefits or trying to be around you when things sort of prosper.
You know, so. You guys, like, that makes me think of individuality, right? And, like, really accepting yourself, who you are, how strange you are or weird you might consider yourself. And when I asked for song selections from both of you, you both mentioned N.E.R.D., right?
And Nerd. Yeah.
And the guy Pharrell, the guy Pharrell for many people, right, is he, I think, very, very important in terms of not just popular culture, but also black culture.
Yes.
And kind of putting forth this whole idea of, like, being individual, being accepted for who you are, and
being black
isn't just one thing.
It's not
a monolith.
What was so dope about Pharrell was he understood the skate culture, but then street niggas fucked with him. So it was like, you know, we both grew up, you know, in nice households, but we both grew up on black sides of towns.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we.
What part of Atlanta are you from?
I'm from East Point, I went to school like all around the city, so I've dealt with literally every demographic in Atlanta. So I was able to, I understood Pharrell because I understood skate kids being weird and wanting to wear this, but also understood like you got to have street smarts at the same time and be cool with the homies because
you gotta know the right people.
Yeah, because you know a lot of times people feel like if you super thugged out, you super in the hood, you can't mess with like weird shit, and if you're weird, you can't understand
exactly
street logic and street
politics. It's a false dichotomy. Yeah. It's a false dichotomy. And here's the other thing about that. I feel like there was an era that made us collectively forget that you could be everything. Like you could be. I know people who are street who are super weird. And I people who are so-called weird. Who
They're
are,
vegans that are thugs.
Exactly. And I felt like, you know, a guy like a Pharrell, a guy like a Kanye reminded us collectively of the various nuances and the complexity that we have as a people. Like I really feel like black means mad different things.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's not one thing.
We literally come in every shade.
Every outfit, everything, a whole spectrum.
Yeah. I always say I hate people who think black and white because there's millions of shades of gray. I hate when people are like, I'm this or I'm this. I'm happy or I'm sad. No, like sometimes you happy, sad, confused, excited, depressed at the same damn time. What does that mean? But you're crazy. You're considered crazy opposed to being like, there's no word to really talk about that. There's different shades of gray.
Yeah.
And some of those shades we may not understand, but you know, don't fault me for having sort of an ulterior thought process than what's normal. So that goes back to what you said, individuality. So
yeah.
So with that, I want to play this this NERD selection, Am I High, featuring Malice.
So there's no reason to lie. I bet you let those other niggas jerk you.
Am I High by NERD featuring Malice of the Clips.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that
got
real
high,
quick.
Got me leaning.
Yeah, why'd you choose that joint?
I think that was the first NERD song I ever fell in love with. Because I think the first song I heard by them was She Wants to Move.
Yeah.
That was like a lot of people's first NERD song. But I didn't like that song when I heard it.
I thought it was cool, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, whatever.
Nah. I mean,
like it
hindsight,
now.
I got a whole different.
It grew on me.
That shit was fire. Because I was a stand at that point.
See,
so I was like.
I wasn't up on them like that. I got up on them when I was in like middle school. My cousin Malik was living at my house. And we only had one computer in the house. And it was in my room. And so. We had LimeWire. Yeah, LimeWire, you feel me? And he would just get up. Every day I would come home from school and there'd be like a bunch of new Lil Wayne mixtape stuff. And NERD. That was it. Just like Lil Wayne and NERD. And mm-hmm. one day I was just like, let me go through and see what this is. Because he's my older cousin. He's up on stuff. So I started listening to NERD and I didn't understand it at first. It was so different from what I was used to hearing. But it tied me back to the Neptunes production that I was hearing on the radio at the time that I was already in love with, but didn't realize that the Neptunes were behind it. Mm-hmm. And then Am I High, I think, was the first song that I started listening to from NERD where I was like, yo, this is like next level. Like, what? Mm-hmm. It was one of them songs where I first heard it and was like, I gotta hear that again. I don't... It was confusing. Mm-hmm. It was like I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it. I just didn't understand it.
It was just new.
It was new.
Yeah.
Once I understood it, it was like mind-boggling.
That's like a lot of stuff I say, like when people put out music, if it gets extreme, it's going to get, like, things are polarizing if something is really, really special and new. There's going to be a lot of people that think, a lot of people are going to get it first. Like, yo, y'all tripping. This is next level. Like, and mm-hmm. it's going to be people that are like, yo, this is so trash, bro. Because if you remember, you know, now you have all these people that NERD is like, yeah, like, that's my influence. But when NERD first came out, if you remember.
They got a lot of flack.
They got bad reviews.
Oh, the rock audience hated them. They were like, just amateurish. What is this?
Yeah. But to me, it's like, it's not about, nobody, it's just like, I always say, like, the best singers aren't the most popular. It's the singers that you can relate to, mm-hmm. their voices that are the most popular, because it's like, yeah, she can sing, but you feel like you can get there. Even though you may not when you start actually trying to sing, you feel like you can get mm-hmm. there. I feel like those are the best artists, opposed to the super, of course, the Beyoncés and Adeles are monsters.
Yeah, the natural born performers.
But even them, they have songs that, even though they're singing them so crazy, even Amy Winehouse, you felt like you can sing along to them. Those are the unicorns of really music, but for the most part, you want somebody like NERD that's like, it gives you a little bit of that, just enough rock that you can fuck with. Because, you know, growing up, you know, every black kid had like, I fuck with this rock song, I got a few rock songs I fuck with. And NERD was like the bridging of that gap of like, okay, I got the little rock that I fuck with in these songs, mixed with the rap shit, mixed with the chorus I like from my old school to my parents used to play. So it was that's why I really probably fucked you up, is because it was a mixture of everything that you liked.
Yeah.
And you were just like, yo, how the fuck did they mix all this shit together?
Straight up, because it was before I started like trying to, I think it was like 7th or 8th grade when like the black kids at school started trying to listen to rock music.
Just to be different.
Just to be different.
I got some Linkin Park in my iPod.
Just to be different. And I started listening to it too, just on some like, let me see like what I'm missing out on, and found some fire songs. But yeah, it was like, NERD was kind of the bridge to that gap for me. I was listening to NERD first, and then I went over and tried mm-hmm. to start listening to rock, which was cool.
I mean, I think it's ill to see, you know, black people be kind of moved away from guitar music, right? And come back to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, at least, you know, in terms of like the popular association, it's like, oh, y'all playing guitars, the fuck's that?
Yeah.
And like post-Prince, you didn't really see that a lot, right?
Right.
And now, I think with stuff like NERD, you kind of saw a resurgence in that and a comfort with that.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of guitars, I want to talk about you guys, guitarist Steve, who you've been mentioning, right? Who's a really amazing artist in his own right. I know he made a lot of contributions to Ego Death, right?
Steve, we met him through our old keyboard player, Jamil. He brought him through. He used to be at the studio. Sid used to own a studio in Hollywood, Chateau Marie. Basically, it was like a hangout for like all the homies. Like,
yeah.
It was basically you come through and make beats. And it was a nice studio that Sid owned, but it had an energy of a very welcoming energy that if you, you know, a lot of times when you go in a lot of these studios or people's studio, you feel like, okay, I'm I don't want to touch anything. Yeah, I don't want to like ruffle. I don't want to touch. But the studio had a vibe where like I can go in the live room and play. I can get on the aux and play. I can go in the kitchen and get. So I can. Go. It felt like so. You know, Steve being 16. You know, he had
he
a place where...
He was actually 15.
15, I'm sorry. 15.
When he started coming over, he was like 15.
Yeah, so him having just a place to, you know, hang out, now that I realize it was everything to him, because he didn't even have a computer at the time. He couldn't even lay music down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was
and
the
I,
first...
I always had that low-key with Odd Future. Like, I kind of built that
you
at
the
my
hub.
House.
Yeah, yeah, where everybody came through to record and... Yeah,
yeah. So when I was 15, I was doing that too. Which is really cool.
Yeah, so basically, he would be at the studio and I would... Like I said, me and Steve were like dummy close now, but at the beginning, it was like... He was really quiet and he was very like, he would play little bass lines in there. He'd be really nervous, like in the live room, and then he'll come in, he'll stop, like, hey man, go back when you leave. And he was real quiet. And I remember our bass player wasn't around for like a week or something, and I needed like a bass line on a song. It was probably the song on my SoundCloud called I Know You Wanted to Fly. I know people heard that one. He, you know, I was basically like, you know, put bass on it just to see. And I was like, this is what you've been holding on to in that room this whole time, fam. So basically, after that, me and him just started making mad ego death shit.
Bunch
like, we just got in the zone, a crazy ass zone.
Yeah,
because
y'all made Special Affair, y'all made Getaway.
Yeah. We made Gabby. Something's Missing. Like, we got in a really crazy zone at a certain point. And what it is, what I love about Steve, he's so good at music, but he's able to bring himself down to a level and teach other people and not make it seem like you can't do what he does, even though you
probably
can't. You know what I mean? Like, Steve is like a very talented guy, but he doesn't carry himself like somebody that is above what he's doing in his craft. And I really appreciate him at 18 being able to understand and respect what he does, but understand his value. I think that's a hard thing for a lot of people.
And at 18 being mature. He's really mature for his age. When he was 15, he came to the studio, I thought he was my age. I thought he was like 21 or 19 or something. Because he walked in like, what's up? Went to the next room, started playing guitar or something. I was like, oh, okay, that's one of Jamil's friends. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so the good thing about Steve is, like I said, he understands growth, and just seeing his growth, like with the new song, you know, Dark Red that he just released, it's just like, man, like I was telling him last night, he was showing me his video. I was like, man, like you realize, like, you can take this shit back. Like, you legit understand rock. You understand funk. You understand, like, you're young enough to understand the importance of trap music and you literally can change music. So I always put in his head, like, you can change things. Like, you can change things.
He has a wide open lane as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
He can do whatever he wants. He can kind of be whatever art type artist. Because,
I mean, he produced All About Me on her album. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Trap beat.
on his phone, by the way.
Yeah, he made it on his phone.
Jesus.
How?
There's this app he put us on to called Beatmaker.
Beatmaker 2, I think.
I've seen Beatmaker. I didn't know you could do stuff like that.
Yes, he made About Me, I think, on Beatmaker.
But you got to be Steve.
You got to play guitar,
Steve is the one who gets on the plane to New York, like, pulls his phone out, opens Beatmaker, puts his headphones in, and he's... Like, he's not watching movies on the plane. Like, he's listening to old beats, and he's making new beats on his phone.
That said, I think we want to hear a little bit of Steve Lacy. Yeah. This is Dark Red.
There's something bad is about to happen to me. I don't know it, but I feel it coming. Might be so sad, might leave my nose running. I just hope she don't wanna leave me. Don't you give me up, please. Don't give up on me. I belong with you, don't leave. Bad is about to happen to me. Why I feel this way, I don't know, maybe. I think of her so much, it drives me crazy. I just don't want her to leave me.
Don't you give me up, please. Don't give up on me. only you, babe.
Only you, my girl, only you, babe.
Only you, darling, only you.
And his song is mad short.
All his songs are hella short. That's
it
the only
thing.
It makes
you want more though too.
Yeah. This is the longest song on the album though.
Word?
Yes. No, yeah.
Dark Race is the longest song on the album.
That's the only thing about Steve with him writing all his own stuff. That's why it took him so long to make a project, because he has a trouble finishing it, because he wants to finish it by himself. Mm. You know, like he doesn't want to go out and ask for help, which I get.
Mm. You know what I think is really interesting about you guys' crew is that so many talented, really, really talented, individually talented people are drawn together to do things. I think it's kind of uncanny. Like, I really feel like, you know, like the universe is at work to bring all y'all together. Because, like, yeah, I mean, Steve as an example of that is crazy. At 18 years old, doing stuff like that, you know?
Super special.
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's one of those things where you see, as we go in our own branches, like, what we contribute to the bigger spaceship that is the internet. And I think, you know, even our album covers, like Sid just being on by herself, the vocals. I have keys all on my cover. You know, Steve has guitars over his. I'm sure Pat will have his bass. That's not something we do intentionally. That just, I noticed that. I was like, damn, like, we really have, it really is starting to become a story and sort of like a Power Ranger.
Yeah. Which color Rangers. Power Ranger are you?
Purple. But I don't think they have
a
purple.
I didn't have a purple Ranger. All right, all right.
You know, I'm the black one.
I would have said the black one, yeah.
I think Patrick's gonna be like brown. We just be all different shades of brown.
I wanna be the blue one in the cowboy boots.
We'll just be our skin.
Jet Wavy.
Jet Wavy, yeah. Shout out Blue Cowboy. Shout out Blue Power Ranger, bro.
Yeah.
You're really funny. You bring us a lot of joy.
You know, I do wanna take this back a little bit. Like, now we just did something that's from the present / near future with Steve. I want to go all the way back to like 1994 and a song that Sid chose. And a very, very R&B song, a very classic. This is a classic. Yeah. I want to say this song's a classic.
This album is a classic.
I Want to Be Down by Brandy. Tell me why you chose it. We'll play it.
Brandy's first self-titled album was one of the first albums I ever owned.
Oh, wow.
And it was that and Usher My Way. I got them both at the same time. And huge influence on my life. I really, like, as a child, wanted to be Brandy.
Oh, wow.
Like,
did you have braids? Voice.
I did have braids. I had braids, like, straight up. Like, and I had, like, the raspy kind of voice, too, when I was a kid. So I always just used to sing along to her whole album and just wish that was me. Wish I could sing.
I remember this is pretty much a moment. I remember the remix with all like female MCs on it.
Oh,
I was damn, she did her own Flavor in Your Ear remix. Except with all classic women artists. All right.
The video is a real throwback though.
So we're gonna rock this real quick. And she's an LA person too. She's from Compton, I feel like. So yeah. Let's rock this real quick. Brandy, I Wanna Be Down.
Of course.
We are back on All Songs Considered Plus One podcast with Sid and Matt Martians of the Internet. And that was Brandy, I Want to Be Down. You know that hand gesture thing she used to do in the video? I try to figure it out, that little dance. I couldn't. You know what I'm talking about?
Nah, what with the dance? It's You're like, more familiar with them, I am.
It's just this little hand. It was.
It's like this hand.
You know how they had the bob, they had the like.
It was like the bank head bounce into this hand gesture thingy.
It was so,
you'll watch the video after and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Shout out, Brandy.
Epic video, by the way.
I want to thank you guys for coming through today and
thanks for having
sharing
us.
Some of your knowledge and also some of these songs you selected with us. And also definitely like your music philosophy. It's like I was saying, it's really, really refreshing to meet artists who not only create great stuff, but have a really strong kind of ethos behind it. So, yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
So where can people catch you on this tour? Are you doing this domestic strictly tour?
For the most part,
we're doing like two shows in London, and we're doing one in Paris and one in South Africa. But other than that, yes, domestic.
Yeah, we got six shows on the East Coast right now, six shows on the West Coast.
Okay.
Just going to test out this new set, see how it goes, go back home, make some adjustments, and then start gearing up for like a bigger tour. We can hit the South and the Midwest and stuff.
And are you guys currently working on the next internet project or?
Yes.
We're gonna start like tomorrow.
The thing is, like, we got ideas, like, but it's like the ideas were made while we were working on our solo stuff, so it's like,
yeah, we all
dope.
Had to focus. We're
gonna come back to it. No, that's dope. Okay, we know we like this. That's
yeah,
dope.
We definitely got a couple beats that like.
For
we're
sure,
using.
Yeah, we're
okay.
definitely using. But
no
we don't
doubt.
Have any song ideas at all. But we have beats that we made or instrumentals that are like, okay, yeah, that's hard.
and in terms of solo releases from the crew, we got Sid's record, we got Matt's record, Steve's record is coming out probably really soon.
Yeah.
By the time this recording hits, comes out.
And
this
also our bass player has a project already out called The Prelude, and it's very, very dope.
Very fire instrumental.
It's on SoundCloud. Our drummer actually has the album come out as well.
Yeah. We'll let him talk about that
when
he's
it comes out.
He's still working on it.
But basically, everybody in the group.
Everybody got
it. It's not just me, Sid, and Steve. It's, you know, Patrick and Chris in their own right are really, I think,
fire.
Really going to be even more surprising, I feel like, than what we have done. Because I think, you said people focus on those three, but I feel like those are going to be, like, they're just as good and they're just as much thought behind them. So I feel like I'm excited for them, especially getting more attention on the music that they make. Because, it's, like I said, it's very, very good. And I think, it's like I said, it's important for people to understand the dynamics within the band. Every dynamic, not just three.
Every
all
member
five.
Unlocks.
Just how they see music, spot. How every member sees music. I think that's important. So when we do come back together, it's like, wow, like, how did they make this shit together? Like,
yeah.
All right. It's even more confusing. It's more intriguing the next album, because I feel like you have to keep intriguing the people and keep doing things to get people interested. Not even reinventing yourself, but just doing things to, like I say, intrigue
keep it
people.
Fun.
And keep
I
it
mean,
fun.
As long remember. As you're having fun.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's dope. Fun with the internet.
Next album title.
Fun.
So thank you, Sid.
Thank you,
Matt. This has been All Songs Considered Plus One. I'm Tim Hotep, and we are out.